here. You know, pastor says the theme has been to continue, and we need to continue to give. It is not the cost, but the cause that drives us to do that. Remember, David said when Goliath came out, is there not a cause? He didn't ask what's the cost. He said, what's the cause? And that's why we do what we do, because there is a cause. Literally this week, from Wednesday now through Sunday, we will be setting the mission budget for the church. We're setting the budget for the next year for the church of what you want to do. And we were out in a way in a village in Papua New Guinea. Sometimes we'll drive in vehicles 3 to 4 hours to get way out into the bush. Now, it may only be 70 kilometers, but it'll take us 4 hours to get there because of the roads and the bridges and the rivers. But we got out to this village, and the headmaster of the school was so excited that we were coming, because nobody ever visits their school. It's way back out in the bush. And he said, young people, he said, these men have come to bring us Jesus Christ. Amen. They've come to bring us the light of the gospel. And I thought, man, what a great statement. And you know what we're doing this week? We're paying the power bill to turn the light on around the world. Amen? We're paying the power bill. I'm so excited about this brother going to China, both of them going to China. I'm just excited about that. I've spent a long time in India. You just trip over people, just people and people. You just have no idea how many people. And I've read so much and seen, you know, I've wondered sometimes that the gospel, you know, years ago a guy said, Horace Greeley said, go west, young man, go west. And, of course, the nation went west. But I've often wondered the gospel has almost traveled from the east, west, and it's coming back around. And I've often wondered if the next great, Philippines is now one of the great sending countries of the world. Do you know China could be, it used to be a day England ruled the waves. Now she waves all the rules, you know. But used to be it was a great mission sending country and things were going around the world. And I wonder sometimes if the next great is where these folks are going to be the great light of the gospel in the world around us. So we're praying that. Now, what you and I will do and what we'll give in the next year, I'm involved in my home local church, will be determined by four things I've just written down. If you keep notes, you're more than welcome to write these down. I'll refer to them nightly. But number one is our willingness to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. What we will give this next year will be determined by our willingness to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I do not believe in what we call progressive revelation, but I do believe this much. If you're a child of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God wants to speak to you and through you, and He will tell you what He wants you to give. If you'll sincerely pray, God, what would you have me to do? And ask the Holy Spirit to truly lead us. Number two, and we'll talk a little bit more about that one in a minute, our willingness to see the need. So many times all we see is what's right in front of us. But if we'll, our willingness to open our eyes and see the need. Remember the story in the Bible about the guy that was blind and Jesus took some mud, put it on his eyes. He said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. What's he saying? He says, I can't see the trees for the forest is what he's saying. They just look like trees walking. Then he touched him the second time. He said, I see all men clearly now. And can I ask you, please, that ask God, not for a second blessing. I'm not teaching that. Please don't misinterpret it. But I'm saying that God would touch our hearts to see people clearly. They're people for whom Christ died. Then they may have different traditions. They may have looked different. I'll be honest with you, when I'm in Papua New Guinea, I joke about this. I am a marshmallow in a chocolate chip factory. I am the only white guy around, okay? And little kids, I drive down the road, they go, ooh, white man, white man, white man. They love to do that. And then when I'm standing there, they'll sneak up behind me and all of a sudden grab my arm real quick. They want to touch the white guy. they've never touched a white man before, you know, and I usually go, and scare them half to death. But anyway, you know, but I have a lot of fun with them. But if I could show you the kids, because of diseases, because of the third world, with everything in their nose running straight down their faces, but their little eyes so shiny as they look up at you, because you've given them something they would have never dreamed in their life that they could own, because they can't afford that. It's not something they get. Our willingness to see the need. Number three, our willingness to be a part of the church program. You are a local church. Many people like to be rogue. They just want to go do things all on their own. But if God has put you in this church, what you give will be our willingness to be a part of what the church as a whole, the body of Christ here, decides to do. And to be a part of this program, not just our own little thing, but to be a part of what God is doing here. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then the fourth principle I want to talk about eventually is it's equal sacrifice, not always equal gifts. Equal sacrifice. Now, we're all different. Now, I know our Constitution and Bill of Rights and everything says that all men are created equal. And I don't mean this wrong. We may have been created equal, but we are not equal. All of us are different, okay? Every one of our checkbooks are different. Every one of our jobs are different. Every one of our families are different and so forth. So there's no number that we say everybody has to give this. It's equal sacrifice. For the widow, when she put that mite in, she gave out of her great necessity. Now, there were people that gave a whole lot more, but Jesus said, no, nobody's given like she did. Why? It's equal sacrifice, not just equal gifts. If you have your Bible tonight, and can I say this as I stand to preach, I don't carry in my back pocket revival. I don't carry the world of missions. I'm not the sole voice. I always say this, and I say it tonight to open the services. In Luke 17:10, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. It says, so likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say. He doesn't say think it. He says, say it. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. My job, I'm simply doing what's my duty to do. I'm an unprofitable servant. I wish I could do more for God, but I'm trying my best. In Acts chapter 8, we come across a story that most of us are familiar with if you've been in church. We call it Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. When I was a pastor, then went into missions, I used to travel and preach. And I preached a sermon. I preached it here last time I was here in March, called Please Pass the Bread. And another one I preached on many times is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. My son, missionary kids are smart alecks, you know, but my son walked up to me and said, Dad, the bread's stale and Philip's tired of running. I hope we'll get something from this tonight. In Acts chapter 8, look down in verse number 26, please. Why was God able to use this man named Philip? The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Now, we got to figure out who Philip is first. Philip is one of the early deacons. Back in the earlier part of the book of Acts, they called out deacons to serve the widows. They felt like the Grecian women weren't being taken care of, widows weren't being taken care of. So he started out as a deacon, as a servant in the church. But eventually, the Bible calls him an evangelist, and even his children went into evangelism and were preaching the gospel and giving the gospel out. So Philip used the office that he started with and just was faithful to it, and God kept blessing him and blessing him to eventually he was now in the earlier part of Acts chapter 8, he's in Samaria preaching an unbelievable revival. Huge revival. Samaritans are being saved all over the place. And that was the half-breed people. People, most of them, the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with. But multitudes were being saved. And in the height of that, God comes along and says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert.
He's sending him about 60 miles away to a desert place. Now, I don't know about you, but my first question would be, God, why are you doing this? God's using me. I've got a revival going on here. Got a lot going on here. And all of a sudden, God says, no, I want you to go down there. And verse 27 says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man. Now, here's our second person, an Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So the second person we're introduced to is an Ethiopian eunuch. He's a black gentleman from Ethiopia. He's a eunuch. He'd been emasculated. He wasn't what he was when he was born. And that was because he was a servant unto Candace, but he was a well-trusted servant of Candace's. I mean, he had the charge of her treasury. She trusted him explicitly and so forth. All right? Was returning, sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now, he had gone, he had taken a leave of absence from his duties in Ethiopia. Somewhere, somehow, somebody had said to him, there's a God in Jerusalem, and you need him. So he said, can I get a leave of absence? She trusted him well enough. Yes, I'll go. He leaves and goes from Ethiopia up to Jerusalem with a desire to learn about God. He goes wanting to know God. And he gets there, and now the Bible says he's returning, and he's in his chariot, and he's reading Isaiah. Now, this is interesting. Please take a note of this. The Jews didn't hand out Bibles like we do. The Jews were curators of the Bible. They were very protective of the Bible. You didn't stand on a corner and hand gospel tracts out. In those times, the Jews didn't. They were nobody got to touch it. Only certain people could even touch the Torah or touch the scripture or the prophets and Moses and so forth. And number two, here's a man that they normally didn't give Bibles to. Number two, he's a black gentleman. He's not Jewish, so they don't want him even to have that. To them, that would defile it. Then on top of that, he's a eunuch, which would even defile the scripture more. Here's what I'm trying to say. It obviously had to be a miracle for him to even get a piece of scripture. Somebody told me one time years ago, an old preacher, if you'll have a leaky seed basket, God will put the Bible into the hands that need it. If you'll just give it out, God will get it where it needs to go. And that's one reason I do what I'm doing, because I believe with all my heart God's word will not return void. It will do the work wherein it's sent. So he's reading Isaiah. And verse 29 says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. Notice verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him. Well, that's some effort right there, brother. He didn't just sit and say, well, I'm going to stand here on the side of the road, and I'm going to live the Christian life, and if the eunuch just looks over here, you know, I'm going to say, you know, hi, God bless you. I'm a Christian. No, he didn't just try to live the life. Because living your life is your lips, too. He ran to him. And the Bible doesn't say the chariot was stopped. He ran to him, and as he ran beside the chariot, he hears him reading Isaiah there. And he said, and Philip ran thither, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I? Except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So he stopped, got Philip up in there. The place of the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb dumb before his shear, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. He's reading Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Of himself? Now we're introduced to a third person, or of some other man. And the Bible says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So we have Philip, we have the eunuch, and we have Jesus. And don't let anybody ever tell you Jesus isn't in the Old Testament. He's reading it out of Isaiah chapter 53 right here. And he began at that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they went on their way, and there came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? That tells me something else. He must have given him the whole counsel of God's word. Amen? He didn't just give him three points poem and a sad story. He was telling him the gospel and the need not to baptize to save you, but the baptism as a further profession of faith. And Philip said, now here's the key. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So it does you no good to get baptized unless you're saved. You just go down a wet center, come up a wet center. You can be baptized until all the tadpoles know your social security number. All you're doing is getting wet, though, amen? You got to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. By the way, that obviously wasn't a teacup then, right? He went down into the water, and they both came up out of the water, amen? I heard about a preacher one time was preaching at a big Sunday school conference, and it was held in a Methodist church, and he thought they'd brought up some water for him to drink up at the front. And he reached, oh, and that night he drank the whole baptismal. But anyway, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, your pastor is a Bible student, and he can correct me if I'm wrong here. I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. One runs a clothing goods store and the other runs a delicatessen. I don't know a lot of Greek and Hebrew, okay? But it says there, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now that he could have referred to the eunuch because he just got saved and he went away rejoicing, amen? Nothing greater than being saved. I can still remember when I was 18 years old, I trusted Christ my Savior. I went away rejoicing. In Pidgin we say hamamas. A strong hamamas, that means very happy rejoicing. But that's Papua New Guinea language. But anyway, he went on his way rejoicing. Or it could be referring to Philip. Because other than getting saved, the second greatest thing in the world is to lead somebody else to Jesus Christ. So I kind of like to believe that he refers to both of them, all right? But your pastor can set you straight on all that. But I want to talk for just a minute on why God was able to use this man. And I'll be quick. Number one. God used Philip because he was submissive to the call of God. In the midst of a wonderful evangelistic meeting in Samaria, God called him to do something. How do we respond when God interrupts our life? What if God got in this mission conference this week and said to you, I want you to go? Can I say something kindly but with conviction? Some of us need plastic surgery. What do I mean? We need to cut them up. Because if you're not paying them off monthly, you'd have to say, well, God, I want to go, but I can't because I'm too in debt. Amen or oh me. All right? Amen me or not, I know good preaching when I hear it, and that's good preaching. We ought to live out of debt if we possibly can. Now, I'm not talking about something we can't liquidate and leave. I'm talking about credit card debt, unsecured debt. That's unsubstantiating, not biblical debt. Amen. How do we deal with when God interrupts our life? God, I have all this planned out. I want to do this. I want to do this. And, you know, eventually I want to do this, and I want to be a typical American, have my 2.5 kids. You know, I haven't seen too many of those half kids, but I mean, I want to have this, I want to have the American dream. But what if God says, no, I want you to do this? Can God interrupt your life? And the Bible says he obeyed immediately. One of my heroes is a lady by the name of Darlene Rose. Her original name was Darlene Diabler. She was the first white woman to go into Irian Jaya in Indonesia. Up in the mountains, first white woman in 1938, I believe it was. She and her husband went in there as missionaries. She was captured by the Japanese, put in a prisoner of war camp. Her husband he died in one prisoner of war camp. She lived through the end of the war. Tragic, if you could ever. She's got a book called Faith, Evidence Not Seen. Evidence Not Seen. Great book. Great, great book. She was a 12-year-old little girl in Boone, Iowa. In a mission conference when a missionary stood up and she felt God called her to preach, and everybody thought, well, she's just a little girl. But who would have ever known that little 12-year-old girl raised her hand in the back that she'd be the first white woman to go into some of those areas of the world? Can God interrupt your life? The eternal purpose of God is to save people through Jesus Christ. And how is our life going to impact every nation, tribe, and tongue and the people of the world? God's will is to redeem men and women from every nation, tribe, language, and people by his grace for his glory. And that's what, how are we impacting that? He was submissive to the call of God. Number two, so our time's almost gone, he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. How did he know who to talk to? The Bible said there, look at it, verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip. Now we independent Baptists, and I are one, as the bad English says, have been so scared because of the charismatics, we don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit, but the truth of the matter is there. The Holy Spirit of God, if you're saved, dwells in you. You have all of them you're ever going to get. The problem is he doesn't have all of you or me most of the time. But the Spirit of God wants to talk to us. You know, in this room right now, there's words floating all over this room. Believe it or not, there are pictures floating in this room. You say, that preacher's crazy. No. If I had a radio up here with a tuner, I could tune them in and we could hear those words, couldn't we? The reason we're not hearing them is we don't have a tuner. Now, I grew up in the old days when we had rabbit ears on our TV. We didn't have cable. Some of you remember I was the little brother that had to hold the rabbit ears for my family, and they'd say, hold it this way. And we'd put aluminum foil on the top of it to try to get the picture in good and things like that, you know. But if we were back in the day of antenna, we could watch a TV show. But we don't have a tuner. The problem is the average child of God is broadcasting when we ought to be tuning in. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to us. He wants to speak to our heart. How would Philip know what to do when he got there? The Holy Spirit had to tell him. I was driving in Suva one time in Fiji, and I didn't know where this Muslim school was that I was going to speak. We were going to give Bibles in the Muslim schools, had permission by the government. I had no idea where to go, and finally, I'm driving down the road, and I got this idea at the last second, ask a policeman. I thought, well, that's a good thing to do. So I, real quick, had to turn real fast because we drive on the opposite side of the road and the opposite side of the car, so you can get the picture. It's not so bad driving, but shifting gears is different when this arm instead of this arm. But I raced into the police saying, well, gravel went everywhere, noise came out. Half of the policemen came running out of the office in there, and here's this white guy flying in this truck. And I thought, oh, this doesn't look good. And I jumped out and I said, I'm sorry. I just had the idea. I'm trying to get to these schools. And I named the schools. I need someone to help me. Could you help me? Man, great big old guy. Great big Fijian guy. Now, Fijian guys, believe it or not, they're not transvestites, but they do wear skirts. They call them suvas. They're great big old, they're just like a wraparound skirt, okay? But I would not have called him a sissy. He was huge. But anyway, he walked out to the car. And he said, well, go this way. And I said, brother, I cannot hardly understand you. He said, get in, drive. I'll go with you. I said, well, brother, what's your name? He said, my name is Absalami. That's American, would be Absalom. And I learned that, turned to him, and I said, brother, you haven't rebelled against your dad, have you? And he said, no. He laughed. Anyway, he drove with us soon, and I said, I've got to go to this school. It's a Muslim school. That man doesn't want us. I'll take care of it. Don't worry, preacher. We pulled up to the school. I thought he was going to wait in the car while I went in to talk to the principal. No, he got up, walked in the principal, walked right past the secretary and said, this Pastor Brooks, he's going to speak at 10 o'clock, right? What are you going to say? This monster of a guy is standing over this little Muslim guy looking up at him and said, yes, sir. You know, hey, I believe with all my heart I'm going to give God credit. The Holy Spirit told me to go in there. Absalom gave. I went back to the place. I got to speak to all the policemen in that. It's where they train their special forces there, their SWAT team. Their commander came out, and I handed him a Bible, and he said, young man, I like that. He said, young man, he said, you have given us the most powerful weapon in the world for what we're doing. Are we led by the Spirit of God? I could tell so many stories. One time I was walking into a school, and I just felt something was wrong. I'm not charismatic, but sometimes things just get creepy. And you walk in there and you just say, something's wrong in this situation. And I turned to one of the nationals and I said, brother, why? I just feel evil. He said, well, we ought to. I said, why? He said, this is a Hindu school. I said, well, I've been to many. He said, no, this is where they fire walk. They walk on hot coals across the fire. They do it at this end. By God's grace, we are at the other end. Over 800 students, we preached and gave Bibles to all of them where they fire walked at the other end. God's Holy Spirit can lead you if you'll be willing. The whole reason we got to do Fiji, I was standing in a hotel and the prime minister of the country walked by. And I had the privilege of walking up and introduce myself and follow up and get to know him. And he said, come, give Bibles to everyone. God wants to speak to our hearts. Are we tuning in? God wants to tell you exactly what to give this year. God wants to let you know. He wants. And by the way, if it's accessible, it might not even be God telling you. If it's something that is not accessible, that's where you know God has to walk in and help you do it. Can I get an amen right there? If it's easy, anybody can do it. He was sensitive to the Spirit of God. I could say so much more, but we'll move on to the last point. He sent forth the Word of God. Look at verse 37. He said in verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He sent forth the Word of God. That tells me, number one, Philip knew the Scriptures. How could he preach Jesus from Isaiah 53 if Philip was ignorant of the Bible? No, number one, Philip knew the Scriptures. Number two, he could explain the Scriptures. Do you understand what you're reading? What a great approach. Do you understand what Christianity really is? Do you understand what the gospel really is? Because there's a lot of confusion as to what it is. He could explain the Scriptures. Number three, he pointed him to Jesus Christ. When I first was a young man up in Canada, I hunted a little bit down in Alabama. But when we got to Canada, they have monster bucks where we are. I mean, huge deer. And I'd go out and try to deer hunt. And honestly, I couldn't see them half the time. So I had this guy. He was an old native guy, and he was good at hunting, unbelievably good at hunting. He took me out, and he said, now, you watch me, and I'll show you where the deer are. So I'm watching him real close, and he's trying to say something to me. And I said, what are you trying to say? He said, quit looking at me and look where I'm looking. And what he was saying was, don't just look at me. Look where I'm looking. And by the way, you know, that's what a preacher does too. Don't just look at us. Look where we're looking. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Point them to Jesus. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And then lastly, he urged him to obedience. He said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thine heart, then you need to obey God. So why could God use Philip? Number one, he could use him because he was submissive to the call of God. Can God interrupt your life? If you're not in the position where God could say, I want you to do something, then work at getting in that position. If you're financially in such a situation, work, get with your pastor, get with a good counselor to work out a budget to get out of debt so that if God wanted to call you, you could go and get help in that way. He was submissive to the call of God. Number two, he was sensitive to the Spirit of God. Are you listening for that still small voice? When you go to the checkout counter and God says, witness. When you're at the doctor's office waiting and God says, witness. Or the Lord says, call your neighbor over for a cup of coffee and witness. Sensitive to the Spirit of God. And then send forth the Word of God. You got to know it. You have to know how to explain it. But just point people to Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. And urge them to obey. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, thank you for the opportunity. Our time has quickly gone tonight. It's been a good service, though. But I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that God, you'd speak to hearts. Maybe you're calling somebody. Maybe you're not calling them right now, but you're speaking to them about putting themselves in the position where they could be called, where, God, you could use them to discipline their lives, to be all they should be, like Philip started as a deacon, was just faithful. And God, you eventually used him in a great, mighty way. God, I pray that we would be submissive to the call of God in our lives,
Lord, help God's people to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God, you who dwell within us, so oft ignored, so oft drowned out by the noise of everything else, forgive us. Help us to be sensitive to you, to listen to the still small voice. You promised to lead us, and I pray we'd listen. And God, may we send forth, may we be witnesses no matter where we are, giving out the word of God. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I've not preached what we call a gospel message, but if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the first call God has on your life is for salvation tonight. God wants you saved. Do you know for sure heaven's your home? Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? Please don't leave this. Almost hypocritical to talk about missions around the world and have somebody here that's not saved. Oh, please, please, trust Christ tonight as your Savior. But if you're saved and you're a child of God, are you submissive to the call of God? Or are there some things in your life that, oh, man, God, would it be hard for him to interrupt my life right now? I got to get some things straightened out. And I'm going to dedicate my heart and life and discipline and be faithful to church and be what God wants me to be in the position where if God calls me, I could go. I could do what he wants me to do. Preacher, pray for me. Are you like that this evening? Can I pray for you? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Can I pray for you? Amen. 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 God bless you. How about this? Are we sensitive to the Spirit of God? Ask this question, and I don't mean it to embarrass. But when's the last time you heard God tell you to do something? Think about that for a little bit. Are we sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart. Pray for me. I've had so much noise in my life, so many things going on in my life that I really haven't been listening like I should. I've been broadcasting when I should be tuning in. Pray for me. Are you like that this evening? Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I pray for these as I said I would. God, that some are in a situation where they couldn't do what you want them to do, even if you called them, they just sit and say, I don't know how to do it. I'm so wrapped up in the affairs of this life. God, I pray that you'd help them to be in the situation where if you did say, I want you, they could just say, here I am, Lord, send me. And then maybe, Lord, you are talking to somebody. Maybe even with the affairs of the world, they're saying, God, I know you're calling me. Lord, you're really going to have to help me to get in the position to go. Lord, I pray for them. And I pray myself and for those that slipped up their hands that God, that I'd be sensitive to your blessed Spirit. Lord, I'd be still and know that you are God. Witness when you prompt me. Give when you tell me. God, we need that for this mission conference. For you to speak to hearts. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pastor, would you come, please?
Let's stand together as we continue to pray tonight. If God's spoken to your heart and you feel the need to come to the altar, would you just come right now? Just right now. We're not going to extend it for very long tonight, but I would like to open this altar. If God's saying to you, hey, I want to talk to you more clearly, and there's some business we need to take care of, maybe you feel led tonight to walk this aisle and bow the knee and say, Lord, I need to get the noise out. I want to be sensitive. Whatever the need is, if you want to come right now is your chance.